Well, hello there, and welcome to the Mill Housing Nation podcast, where we help military families PCS better. I'm your host, Lindsay Litton. Over the next 20 minutes, we're dishing out tips, tricks, and actionable steps you can implement to make your next PCS an easy one. From interviews with military real estate experts to fellow powerhouse military spouses, we're highlighting some of the major issues that impact military families when they move. And before we get started, we want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mill Housing Network. Mill Housing Network connects military families with local military real estate experts all over the country. If you're considering buying or selling a home, connect with milhousingnetwork.com. You can also visit us on Facebook. So let's dive in. Today's guest is a fellow military spouse, veteran herself, and assistant secretary of the American Armed Force Mutual Aid Association. That is a mouthful. Miss Charlene Wild. Charlene, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay.
I'm super
excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you be a part of the Mill Housing Nation. And we want to thank you for being a guest today and for sharing your story. So let's get to it. And before we get started on your personal, or before we get into your professional, I want to learn more about you personally. So how long have you been a military spouse and how many PCSs?
Oh, thanks. So I have been, I've been involved in the military, obviously, for over 16 years, almost 20 years, and been a military spouse for 16, and we've relocated our family eight times. You know, we've lived overseas, you know, stateside. We've gone by train, plane, automobile, with the dog, without the dog, and with my husband, without him, and it's always a team effort, but you know how that's every single military spouse has the same kind of story.
Uh-huh. We all share the same war wounds. We got this.
Yes.
So how has military life, obviously, so it sounds like you've been overseas.
We have. We've been overseas a total of 6 years.
Oh, wow.
We lived in Korea. And actually, my husband and I were married in Korea at the embassy in our Birkenstocks. But then we went back to Korea at our 10-year anniversary with our family. And we lived in Seoul. And then after our tour there, we went, before that, we were in England.
Oh.
And so we got to be an exchange officer program. And I used to walk my dog, you know, like these epic places. And so it was really fun.
Jealous. Hashtag send me to Europe, military. Come on.
Yes, I know. It was the one place my family came to visit.
Yeah, nobody wanted to visit me when we lived in Clovis, and I was always confused.
Yeah.
So, so how has military life impacted your professional career?
Yeah, it's always it's all about perspective, but it's you know, the military life has just brought so many different unexpected twists and turns that you could never really foresee. But, you know, not necessarily all negative. When I met my husband, we were both in the Army, had a great career going for both of us, and that's where I saw myself staying for many years. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then up to that point, you know, that's all we saw ourselves doing until we had our first son. And after we had him, my husband deployed, you know, 6 weeks later.
Mm.
And then I was supposed to go back to work like nothing had ever happened. And now all of a sudden I was a first-time mom and a single mom. And that didn't quite jive so well.
Yeah.
And so I made a choice to stay home at that point. And I thought, oh, I'm going to stay home for a few years. Well, the few years turned into 11, and which was great. It was I wouldn't change a thing. But then after a while, I was ready to go back into the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I was really ready, I was overseas. Mm-hmm. And there's no opportunities except for maybe the commissary or the PX. And that just wasn't my cup of tea.
Sure.
So when we, when I really was ready, I started volunteering and did a couple home-based businesses like most military spouses do, to get myself kind of in the mindset of, hey, I'm going to do this. And then when we moved to Virginia, when I finally had the opportunity to really join the workforce again, I had this great opportunity to reinvent myself and to figure out what I really wanted to do.
I love that. I love that. And now you're working for an organization that supports military families. So, which is a great transition into my next question, because I want to learn more about what AFMA is doing, and specifically what you do in their Survivor Assistance Department.
Absolutely. So AFMA is a quick background. So we've been around over 139 years. We're the longest non-for-profit association. And we focus exclusively on, you know, financial needs of military and veteran families. We're led by, and many of us are, our veterans or military family members. In fact, about 42% of our over employees, and actually there's more than that now, are the veterans or military spouses themselves. We offer life insurance, mortgages, investment management, and a host of other wealth-building products and services. In order to meet military families, meet their financial goals. Now, one of the hallmark services, as you mentioned, was our survivor assistance services. And that is actually the hallmark service of our company, of how we came into existence. And so what that is, that comes with every single life insurance policy that we offer. Those services are actually a group of about five people here that their heart is there for the military, and they take a family that whenever, you know, no one wants to think about why you're purchasing life insurance when you're purchasing life insurance.
Yep.
But when that does happen and there is that sudden pain in your life, that the Survivor Assistance Services walks each family through complex maze of all the benefits, entitlements, and every single government process that there is out there for military surviving families. Our survivor assistance counselors, as we call them, that they are assigned to each surviving family one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to call an 800 number and talk to a different person each time. Mm-hmm. You would call Charlene if you were one of my cases. And we there and we provide immediate personal assistance and offer peace of mind to the family. We walk them through all their benefits. We call DFAST and VA for the family. Hmm. The family doesn't have to call any other government agency. We do it all for them. And we have all the paperwork that's needed for what you need. If you want to come to us in person, we have offices. But most of the time, everything's done by the phone. So then when you're in that time that you do, you may not want to see someone face-to-face, and we don't ask you to.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything by mail. Not only AFMA life insurance, but we also call other life insurance companies for you.
Oh, wow.
And so we take care of that as well. And if there's any problems, if you're facing problems with the government, you know, imagine that, We then can be an advocate for you, and we do conference calls with them to make sure that our families get what they need.
Well, I think that's key, and I think the service that you guys are providing for military families, especially with one of the most difficult times of their survivor's life, and for you guys to be there to be advocates and support, that's awesome.
It's really, of the five counselors that we have, that we're very specific on how we hire them, and almost everyone in that department is either a military spouse or a veteran. So we can really relate to all of our members, and we feel that that's really important so that our members can feel comfortable talking to whoever they're assigned.
Absolutely. It's about building that instant rapport. And if you haven't lived the military life, I think it's really difficult to relate to somebody that is currently living that life.
Absolutely.
And, which is why most of our network realtors are military spouses, veterans, or military brats, because we believe deeply in that mission as well. So,
Absolutely.
We're singing the same song. I love it. So obviously nobody ever wants to think about how important it is to plan for their future in the possibility that there could be a death of a spouse, right? This actually came up in a conversation my husband and I had recently, which is kind of weird. We're sitting on the couch watching TV, and he looks at me and he says, "Hey, if I ever die, this is what you need to do." And I was like, What? Why are we talking about this? I thought we were watching Yellowstone. Like, this is just grim. Where is this coming from? And it sparked a larger conversation about whether or not we had adequate coverage in the event one of us dies. And what and having those conversations with your spouse, I think, is very important. It's uncomfortable because nobody wants to think about it. And then our kids walk in and they're like, what if mommy dies? And it's like, well, okay, hey, you know. So I think it's important. And so how can military families have the conversation, one, and then what are some things that you can do to prepare? Because, and I think you can get more specific on this, because the military does provide life insurance for the active duty service member. However, for some families, that might not be enough. And so how do you, you know, as a family, determine what is enough? And how do you walk people through that, Charlene?
Oh, great question, and I would love to talk about that. We here at AFMA, and we often do, we do workshops, actually, where we help educate the community on these topics as through soldiers as they transition out of the military at our local base. We do the transition briefings. But it's really, it is a topic that no one wants to talk about. As I mentioned earlier, with life insurance, you buy it hoping you never have to use it.
Right.
But, you know, that it is going to happen. And a great way, as you go through your career, as you go through the career together, any kind of important documents that might come up as you separate the military, for example, you get a DD-214, make sure that everyone knows where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of bank accounts, no kind of hidden information, all personal information that you talk about it. And I know as a military spouse, when you move around, you have that golden notebook that has everybody's information in it. I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
And now, thankfully, I have a computer. I have it all uploaded there. But I still have the original somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of mindset of keeping things together, we call them essential documents. You're in a kind of... if there's been a marriage, divorce documents, you know, birth certificates, legal documents, social security numbers, and even things like financial statements, accounts, passwords, keep all those together so that there's universal language between yourself. So if those are all together, those you got your essential documents, so you gather those. And then if you have any kind of final instructions, have those put together of, you know, if you want to be buried in a certain at a certain place, or if you have a funeral home that you just really need to have it there, if you have things you want in your obituary, they're uncomfortable topics, but the more you talk about it with your spouse, then it's not a taboo topic.
Sure.
And any kind of people that you want to be invited or pallbearers, and once again, even keys to combinations of homes and safes. You know, things that you think about when you move, but things that these are good life things to keep together.
Mm-hmm.
So these would be the things to prepare that you could have that conversation with your spouse. Now, you did bring up the topic of, you know, insurance. Like, how much do I really need? And we oftentimes think of there's a life insurance when you have active duty of SGLI. And whenever you get out, it's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now?
Mm-hmm.
And is that enough, as you mentioned? So you could look at, like, your house. If there's a price of the mortgage on the house, what if my spouse died? What is left on that house payment?
Mm-hmm.
Is SGLI going to be enough to cover that? Do we have children in college? Do we have, you know, what phase of life are we in? And what can I see in the next 5-10 years of what if something happened? Could my spouse carry on with what I had? And so life insurance kind of goes in different stages of your life. We have term life insurance when you're at the younger stage in life where you have bigger bills to pay because those are bigger amounts. You can get relatively low cost. And then you also have a permanent insurance value-added whole life, as we have here at our company. That is permanent insurance that you stay with as long as you pay the premium.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are, as you transition from the military, your SGLI cost, that kind of time frame in your life is a great time to transition to and to look for your next term life insurance policy to replace that. Mm-hmm. And we often do recommend, here's a good tip, my husband's getting ready to retire, is to get your your life insurance before you go for your VA disability.
Yes.
Before you start going to the doctor all the time saying, oh, this hurts here. Get your life insurance first.
Yeah.
Because then you have to explain all these doctor appointments as you go through that.
No, I think that's a good point. And I think life insurance isn't something that typical younger people think about because you just think you're going to live forever. And it is definitely something to talk about, especially if you have children, especially if you have a mortgage. So I'll get on my real estate podium here. And I will say, as spouses, it's very important that you have that conversation with your service member. Because if you were to lose their income, how much would it cost for you to continue to live your lifestyle without having to sell your house, move into your parents' basement, and continue to have a quality life for your children? And so it's a difficult conversation, but I think it's a worthy conversation to have with your spouse. And obviously if you're my spouse, you just bring it up while we're watching TV. but you know, it is a good reminder that, and as your assets grow, so you mentioned that it depends on the stage of your life, as your assets grow. And so I'll get on my real estate podium, as you purchase a home, I think it's very important for you to think about having a life insurance policy that could outright pay for the house if something was to happen to your spouse.
Exactly, and that's what the term life insurance products are all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can get a relatively large amount of insurance, you know, for a relatively low cost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I always joke with my husband and say that if he was to go, I'm going to have to hire two au pairs, so I'm going to throw that into the cost too. So. not really, but yes, really. So you recently wrote an article for our website on Mill Housing Network where we talk about military spouses finding empowerment through employment. And obviously this is something near and dear to my heart. So how can military families decide if it's the right time for a spouse to go back to work?
You know, it really is a kind of a big topic, especially like someone's been at home for a while and trying to re-enter back into the workforce. It's this huge change. But I think it's all different of, you know, three simple questions you can ask yourself of, is it the right time? Am I at the right location? And is it a great opportunity that I just can't pass up? And is it a right time in your life? Do you have, you know, what age are your kids if you have kids at home? And, you know, is my income going to be enough to offset the cost of child care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of, is it the right time in our family? And are we at the right place? For example, when I was ready to go back to work, I was overseas, and there wasn't much available to me. So it wasn't quite the right location. And is it the, and are you, just to be honest with yourself, and are you truly ready?
Right.
Are you looking for a career? Are you looking for a part-time job? Just to fill the gap during the day when the kids are in school. And, you know, most of all, just be bold and confident in your own abilities and skills, and not to be afraid to try something different and new.
Mm-hmm.
I have an environmental science background in biology and microbiology, and here I am sitting at a life insurance company.
So, using that degree, aren't you?
I drew upon my, you know, I was, the opportunity presented itself to me, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And, you know, I think that when I was a platoon leader, I had a platoon sergeant who came, he told me, I was so nervous, and he said, you know, a little bit of knowledge and a lot of confidence goes a long way.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've always remembered that, always, if I go into things where I might be a little nervous.
I'm writing it down because that's a good one.
It was a key piece of information as I was 22 and I was in charge of these people.
Wow. Yes, and you got to love that about the military, providing leadership opportunities at such a young age.
Absolutely.
So do you have any specific advice for military spouses that are looking for employment?
I think as we hire quite a few military spouses here, and I think that one of them is specific advice is, as I said, be confident in yourself. But yeah, don't be afraid to ask the questions that may be burning inside of you of you know, what happened if my husband deploys? You know, if don't be afraid to ask those questions of, you know, what if I have an emergency at home, you know, and just be honest and open.
Right. Well, and I think it's important. I know my husband deployed the year I got into real estate. I had a 6-month-old, and my daughter at the time was 2.5. And I just remember thinking, okay, crap, how am I going to do this? And I think that military spouses of any demographic, when pushed against the wall and you're just, you can't see a way out, that's when you tend to get really creative. So I tend to push you to think outside your box a little bit on this when you're thinking about, you know, is it the right time for me, as you had mentioned earlier? Because I think sometimes we get stuck in thinking it's never going to be the right time. We need to wait till our spouse gets out. And as you have proven, sometimes you got to get a little creative.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, as for me, I had to be truly honest with myself and to realize that for me, that the at-home is not my gig.
Right.
It wasn't enough for me. And I needed to be around people.
Yeah.
And I needed to make a difference, which was very important to me, that being a veteran, that I wanted to always give back to my community, and which was what I was searching out.
I love that. So we only have a few more minutes, but I wanted to ask this question because I feel like this is a good one. Obviously, you work with a lot of military spouses that are looking for work. Is there a question that you get asked all the time?
Actually, we do. The biggest one is what I mentioned earlier, is what if my husband deploys? Is one of the biggest questions that come up in our interviews, because we have 3 bases around us. And so we have a member benefits section that's almost all military spouses, and that's all we hire. And that is one of the biggest questions we have. And is it okay if I have to leave early?
Kind of
interesting questions, because we have, you know, you have military spouses, all backgrounds, all ages. And so, you know, they may or may not be seasoned in their career as a spouse.
Well, and I think that is an important question that a lot of military spouses are looking for when they're seeking employment, is the flexibility. Because it's difficult to go from, you know, having the support of your spouse to the emotional stress and the physical stress, if you have little ones, that you go through when they leave. Like being up all night feeding with no help, you know.
Exactly.
You might have that if they're home anyway.
I've never been around my family and all of our duty stations. And so, I just rely upon yourself and you work through it.
You do. So if our listeners want to get connected with you, or they want to learn more about AFMA or how they could gain a position within AFMA, where can they go?
They can go to our webpage, which is AFMA, and I'll spell that out, AAFMAA.com. And on that page, there's a whole host of information regarding our life insurance products, or we have our mortgage services, because it also has a relocation service tab on our mortgage site. And as well as our wealth management department. So you can click on any of those information tabs. And part of our homepage is also SpouseLink, which is an online forum and blog for military spouses to speak openly about different topics. We post different articles on there all the time that could be good resources.
Awesome.
And for employment with AFMA, they could send their resume to our Human Resources Department, which is also on our webpage.
Wonderful. Good deal. Well, Charlene, it has been such a pleasure visiting with you today. Thank you for sharing your personal journey and all the good nuggets that AFMA is doing for the spouse community.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. It's been fun.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to more of Charlene's tidbits, we're going to have all of the show notes available with more information and links to everything that she mentioned. You can view that by visiting millhousingnetwork.com. Click on the podcast link and look for Charlene's episode. While you're there, take a moment to browse some of our past episodes, opt in to work with one of our amazing realtors, or request to become a guest, just like Charlene, on one of our upcoming shows. While you're there, don't forget to enlist to start listening to our weekly podcast alerts where you can stay in the know, my fellow PCS warriors. We are also on iTunes, and I plug that every episode, so definitely check us out on iTunes and subscribe so that you can get all of our newest episodes. I'm Lindsay Linton. I want to thank you guys all for listening, and I want you to join us next time as we're giving more tips and tricks to help you PCS better. If you want more information on our upcoming interviews, join us online at milhousingnetwork.com. That's all we have for today. So, Charlene, thank you so much. And I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us here today. So, till next time, bye for now, Mill Housing Nation listeners.